2024 election cycle is ramping up with Arkansas's primary election now less than 3 weeks away. No doubt you've heard it's a presidential election year, and yes, that's a big reason to go to the polls. But there are other races worth watching as well at the state and local levels. We're going to talk about that, along with what you should know before you go to vote, on this week's edition of the Know the News podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Porozik, Managing Editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democratic Gazette and your podcast host this week. Our politics reporter, Doug Thompson, joins me here today. He has been busy the past several weeks writing stories we've published about the primary races for State House in our area, as well as the Benton County Prosecuting Attorney's race. By the way, you can find all election-related stories that we've published so far at nwavote.com. Doug, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we could probably spend hours talking about the candidates for president, but I think there's enough talk about that race in the media already. So I want to focus on the races that you have written about and are still writing about. One race that maybe wanted to talk about first that you have not covered personally, but is still very relevant to our area, the 3rd District Congressional race primary between Mr. Womack and Clint Penzo, state senator from Springdale.
Well, let's talk about that because it is, I'll put it this way. Northwest Arkansas' 3rd Congressional District is literally one of the safest Republican districts in the entire country. That is no exaggeration. It's been Republican since 1967. Okay, and that's not to disparage Caitlin Draper, the Democratic nominee in this race. It's just a fact of life. She knows it's an uphill climb. But here we are with the Republican majority in the House hanging by a thread. And if there was a reasonably unified Republican Party, there wouldn't be a primary here. They'd be concentrating their money and their effort on races, you know, that they could possibly flip. Mm-hmm. The fact that, and, you know, Mr. Penzo, although Congressman Steve Womack has an enormous fundraising advantage, Senator Penzo has got real conservative bona fides, and he's a lot of people in Northwest Arkansas who are dedicated Republicans, who are primary voters, are mad at Womack for not for, you know, various things I could go into. Keep in mind, only about 30% of voters turn out in a primary, even in presidential election year. So, yeah, it wouldn't take many for Penzo to make a really good show. It's even possible you win it. But well, that has an important effect even on the down-ballot races that are going to be the main points of our discussion today, because it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Democrats vote in the Republican primary. I mean, you know, they might as well anyway. The primary is going to decide who's going to be the in Congress. In the state legislature, that we've only got one Democratic House primary in all of Northwest Arkansas. So why not vote in the Republican primary? And if they vote in the Republican primary, they ain't going to vote for Penzo. So that affects other races. You know, as long as they're voting in the Republican primary anyway, they're going to have an impact. And that's, now we can move on to the state legislative races. Things have settled down. Okay. Last election year, we had 13 House races in Northwest Arkansas, primaries in Northwest Arkansas. Now we've got a grand total of 3. And you know, there's various reasons for that. Last year was a chaotic year. There was a lot of the legislative districts were redrawn after the U.S. Census happens every 10 years. A lot of House members ran for vacant Senate seats and stuff like that, and it was a lively year. Now we've got a grand total of three. And to get started here, one of them is going to be tantamount to election, and that is House District 17 over in Siloam Springs. It's between Jeremy Criner and Randy Torres. There's no independent, there's no Democrat. At last legislative session and a signature by the governor, there are no write-in candidate provision for write-in candidates anymore. So whoever wins that race is going to the legislature. And that's one of I said three. I think we've got a grand total of four, but one of them's a Democratic primary. There's a Democratic primary up in Rogers, House District 15, and there's two candidates there, Stephanie Funk and Aaron Underhill, competing to see who's going to challenge incumbent John Carr in November. Anyway, but I'm doing all the talking here, Dave. Is there a question you
Well, that's
wanted to
why you're
ask in
here.
here somewhere?
No, well, and I should add, we have one in the River Valley as well, correct? First,
Let me just go from the top then and mention
sure.
all of them. House District 14, that's mainly Centerton, a little bit of southwestern Bentonville. And it is between Nick Burks and Joshua Hagan. That's an open seat. Grant Hodges, the representative, decided he needed to stay home. And there is a Democrat in that race in November, but that is between Mr. Hagan and Mr. Burks. Mr. Burke, both are political newcomers. It's the first race for both of them. And anyway, to mention the other races before we talk more about that one, Charlene Fite, one of the most experienced legislators in the state, has called it quits. She is from Van Buren, but her district includes, she's in the River Valley and includes much of Crawford County, and it in her district, House 24 includes a big chunk of southwestern Washington County. There's a race, a primary there between Ty Bates and Brad Hall. Again, there's a Democratic opponent in November in that race. Now, House District 51 is in southern Fort Smith. Representative Cindy Crawford is the incumbent there. She's an experienced legislator, and she's running against a businessman named Jeff Burks. And Mr. Burks is this is another Republican primary, and they Mr. Burks says, "Look, you know, we need some new blood." That's his chief campaign point.
Okay.
The House District 15 race I've already mentioned, Stephanie Funk versus Aaron Underhill. Both of these are business people. First race for each of them, and they basically say, "Look, we need a little balance in the legislature. The Republicans are a severe supermajority. They've got enough, more than enough votes to pass a budget without any Democratic input at all." And both of them realize it's going to be a challenge for a Democrat, but they strongly believe something ought to be done. And finally, we have House District 17, which I've already mentioned. That's the one that's tantamount to election in Siloam Springs.
And your story on that race is coming out this weekend,
Yes, it
I
is.
should add.
Yes, it is. Oh, and you wanted to talk about the prosecutor's race too, didn't you?
Well, we can certainly get to that.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the House thing. Go ahead.
I'm kind of intrigued by that Democratic primary in Rogers between Underhill and Funk. Were you surprised to see a Democratic primary develop in Bend County?
Yes.
Is this a
frankly?
Sign?
I mean, no, let me take that back. Here's why I'm not as surprised as I'd normally be. The Democrats have drastically reduced the filing fee for a race. You know, they go around and they brag about, oh, we've got more candidates than we've ever had, you know, more than we've got a majority of the House seats are contested, et cetera, et cetera. They never mention when they brag about that, that they dropped the filing fee for a state House seat from $3,000 to $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you or I could go down and you know, pay a filing fee with a debit card, or a lot of people could. And that's all it takes to get in the primary. I do not mean to imply in any way that Ms. Funk and Mr. Underhill are not worthy candidates, but it's a whole lot easier to run as a Democrat than it used to be. A whole lot less of a gamble. I am surprised, so I'm not really surprised that we have a Democratic primary. I am a little surprised that the Democratic primary is in this district. It's not only a heavily Republican district, it's a pretty conservative Republican district, or has been in the past. That is changing in some ways. I mean, as Ms. Funk made the point in her interview, it's diversifying. People are feeling the bite of the housing prices up there, and it's not as, you know, it's not as solid. She thinks it's not as solid a Republican as it used to be. Mr. Underhill claims he actually was a Republican until 2021, and right. he just thought that the party has, with its supermajority and all, is going too far and infringing on people's rights. I mean, as a quote with this, that story's already run, his quote was, look, I'm not going to take your guns or tell you you can't be gay either. So yeah, he's more of that particular position is something that would have been quite Republican just a few years ago.
It is an urban district, though, correct? I mean, it's
Rogers. Oh, yeah. It's heavily downtown. Yeah.
And I'm blanking on the name of our current representative there.
Oh, John Carr.
John Carr.
Yeah, Republican for Roger, like I say, quite conservative. Used to be the chairman of the Benton County Republican Party. Basically runs on being conservative on taxing spending. Basically wants to cut taxes, reduce spending, and such as that. Frankly, hasn't suffered any sort of controversy. It's not like they picked the most vulnerable Republican by any stretch of the imagination. He's like I say, they bit off quite a challenge in here. And there are other Democratic candidates and others, but this is the only primary, ones competing for the privilege, so to speak.
You've talked to all these candidates. What are the issues that are most resounding?
Everybody wants to see the state income tax go down. And I will say this, everybody I've talked to, though, is also realize that's going to require some caution. I haven't had anybody in any of these primaries say, oh, we need to whack the income tax. We don't need it anymore. As several candidates have pointed out, if you're not careful, you wind up cutting a state tax and cutting what the state tax goes to, like education, and the net result is going to be the local school district's going to have to raise its property taxes, and you don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing people are talking about. Immigration comes up, even though that's clearly a federal issue. But they want to basically do something about the fallout of it. There's a lot of talk about fentanyl and such as that, but, Yeah, that's basically it. There's not a whole lot of fire breathing. We got to do this or we got to do that. Drastic action being talked about by any of these folks. Everyone I've talked to is just a reasonable person who'd frankly, by all appearances, do a good job. I mean, they've got, I will on that issue in the race in Centerton that I mentioned, Mr. Hagen is a 42-year-old father and family and such as that, and he's arguing that, my opponent, Mr. Burks, is a nice young man, but he's just out of college. You ought to send somebody who, it's been around the track a little bit. He's a realtor, for example, knows the town well. Mr. Burks, on the other hand, says, "Hey, I'm an accountant. I'm almost completing the testing I've got to be a certified public accountant, and I'm, I can do budgets." That's going to be an interesting race. I'm going to keep my eye on that. I think the fact that, Mr. Hagen coaches a little league team is going to be helpful to him in that race. He knows a lot of parents, so we'll see how that goes. And Mr. Hagen also made a very interesting point at a Republican meeting, of candidate forum recently, when he said, "Look, Democrats are playing the long game. They want to take Benton County back." Of course, Benton County has been Republican since the 1980s, but I'm going to say he's, you can argue that it's not really possible and there's not much prospect of it. I wouldn't. But whatever you think the possibilities of doing, he's not wrong. They do, Democrats are looking at making headway in a rapidly urbanizing and diversifying district. I mean, you and I both raised our eyebrows when we saw a projection of that Bentonville's going to have 244,000 people within the, what was it, 2045, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like, holy cow. But yeah, it's not a sleepy little company town anymore. It's not a safe haven. And Mr. Hagen, whether he knew it or not, echoed something that was said at a Republican Lincoln Day dinner I heard from a longtime Republican, saying, "Look, this town is not the same. It is changing." And many years ago, I asked a fellow who's, he's not the Democratic Party chairman now, but he was the Democratic Party chairman then. I said, "Look, why don't you ever even try to put any resources in Benton County?" And he dismissed it, said, "Ah, they're going to go urban anyway. And when they do, they're going to go blue." So we'll see if that picks. I still think the Republican culture up here is pretty strong, and it's not going to be as easy and automatic as some people think it is. But like I say, you cannot argue with Mr. Hagen's contention that the Democrats are looking to make gains up here. Whether they do it this year, we'll see.
I wanted to ask you too about Governor Sanders. Is she made well, she and her administration and made quite a bit of news last year with the agenda that she enacted, particularly, as it relates to the LEARNS Act. Curious to know, I mean, did any of the Republican candidates that you talked to have any disagreements at all with Governor Sanders' agenda there? I mean, is it?
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because I had one of them. I'm hesitant to say which one it was because I don't, I don't want to, not attempting to influence the election here, but well, I've had a couple of them have been quite outspoken that say, "Look, we've got concerns about the LEARNS Act, and its effect on local schools. And when you're hearing that from a Republican candidate, that certainly raised my eyebrow. I mean, that, you know, there's public schools in Northwest Arkansas are frankly pretty good, and weakening anything that perceived to be a weakening of those public schools is get some caution. I'll go ahead and say that Mr. Hall flat out said that, look, you know, the LEARNS Act raised the base of the teacher pay, you know, for the ones who just got there, but the result was that the experienced teachers are sitting here going, hey, what about us? I mean, the advantage of experience and of extra education, like master's degrees and stuff like that, is not conferring an advantage, at least not as big an advantage in pay as it used to. I mean, you know, and that candidate in particular said, look, we need to work on this. We need to make sure that local resources, as they grow, as the district develops economically, needs to go into salaries and benefits for those more experienced teachers. Now, he didn't say this, but obviously, if you're just as good off, as well off pay-wise as being a new teacher, as being a very experienced one, you might, you know, it's a disincentive to staying in it. So yeah, I was let's just say I took note of the fact that a couple of these folks said, look, you know, there's some problems with the LEARNS Act that need to be addressed. So yeah, that was intriguing to me.
Well, I want to dive into the prosecuting attorney's race in Bend County, which you are right in preview of. This election is necessary because former prosecuting attorney Nathan Smith resigned last fall to take a job with Walmart. Now we need to fill the rest of his term, which runs through 2026. And now we've got Brian Sexton and Sarah Phillips vying for the role. How are those two candidates trying to differentiate themselves?
Well, they differentiate themselves quite a bit because Mr. Sexton is the chief deputy. He's running on continuity. He said, look, I've got the experience, and he's been a chief deputy for quite a while. And he's saying that, look, I'm the one that with experience here, I'm the one who can keep things going. And he's, you know, he's got the resume, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Sarah Phillips says, look, there's some things that need changing. Now, she worked for the prosecuting attorney's office too, and she worked in sex crimes and put an emphasis on speed as far as getting us some things through the process. I'll spare everybody the details, but sex crimes prosecutions, frankly, don't age more quickly. It's more urgent to get things done while the case is relatively new. Mm-hmm. And they're among the most difficult. And she points out that, for instance, her argument is one of the ways to relieve jail overcrowding, which is a serious problem in Benton County, is to get people to trial faster. I mean, if you've got a bunch of people sitting in your county jail awaiting trial, unable to make bail, obviously that contributes to overcrowding. So the questions voters, you know, it's a good point, but the questions voters have to ask themselves is, can it be done? That's what they're going to, she is working hard. She's knocking doors. I know that for a fact, but yeah, Mr. Sexton is the experienced one. And, his opponent is frankly making the needs new blood argument. It's a very responsible position. The county gets bigger every day. You know, there's it is becoming more and more urban. And whenever anything's getting more and more urban, you have more and more crime. So, and let's not dismiss the rest of the rural parts of the county. Benton County is an interesting, as we say in the newsroom sometimes, it's a different world on the other side of the lake. You have the problems of a major what accounts in Arkansas as a major urban center, and you have rural areas, law enforcement, property crimes and such, which is let's just say that you work in Benton County as a prosecutor, you see all kinds of crime in all kinds of places. And you know, you mentioned that the current prosecuting attorney went and got a job at Walmart. That happens a lot in Benton County.
Previous,
you can attract good people, but you got to keep them.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
And just to touch on it, and I know you didn't write about it, actually, reporter Ron Wood is doing the story this weekend on the district judge's race in Washington County between Mark Scalise and Taylor Samples. And so I just wanted to mention that as another race that's out there for our listeners, as well as, the Supreme Court, Arkansas Supreme Court, Chief Justice, as well as position 2 on the Supreme Court. There are races for both, 4 lined up for Chief Justice and 2 for position 2 on the court. Those are all, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the election, right?
Yes. I
mean, for those spots.
Now there's it's a weird system. Several years ago, they made judicial elections nonpartisan. But what you didn't want to, the county clerks from around the state said, look, we don't want to have a runoff election all the time. So they made the primary the election for nonpartisan races. And that way, when you have a runoff, as you almost always do in a lot of these races, especially for the Supreme Court, when you have a runoff, it's held during the November general election. Mm-hmm. And that way they don't have to, nobody has to go to the extra time, expense, and bother of having a runoff for a judicial race. Mm-hmm. And that's why they did it that way. Saves the taxpayer money and such as that. But yeah, they're definitely going to be, there's 4 candidates in the Supreme Court Chief Justice race, and that's going to be, there's going to be a runoff in that race. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't kept up with that race, and it is a statewide race, but
you never know.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those candidates, for the record, are Karen Baker, Jay Martin, Barbara Webb, and Rhonda Wood for the Chief Justice slot. And in position 2, it's Courtney Hudson and Carlton Jones.
Okay, thank you.
So just want to get that out there. And Doug, is there anything else you want to add that we haven't mentioned?
I'll go ahead and add this. As I mentioned, 85% of the primary winners in the last figures for the several years that I've checked, 85% of them go on to win the general election. I mean, for all practical purposes, let me just get to the point here. Your legislature is largely elected in the primaries. Okay. There are very, very few true competitive districts between Republicans and Democrats. Even the Democratic seats are, the nominee is going to win. The Democratic Party's nominee is going to win. In most of those districts in the state, the Republican nominee is going to win. There are exceptions, but not many. So, yeah, if you want a real say in who your state representative is, you're just going to have to go vote. Particularly, that's it. I mean, I could elaborate on that, but I'd really be getting into the weeds, and I'm going to avoid that. Because, yeah, if you want to influence, this is the one to go to. Early voting, of course, starts on February the 20th. And the primary date itself is March the 5th. I'm going to express some sympathy for candidates who have to get around and knock doors before it, you know, and then February and in February, but there will, mm-hmm. there's plenty of people willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it being a presidential election year, and us and Arkansas wanting to get on that Super Tuesday action, they decided in presidential election years we have a primary in March. So anyway, have some sympathy for these poor people who are having to go out and, you know, rain and snow and what have you, and campaign because they want your vote.
Absolutely. Doug, pleasure as always talking with you.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with an interview with Kim Dennison, who is Bend County's election coordinator. Stick with us.
If you're enjoying this podcast, consider a newspaper subscription to the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette or the River Valley Democrat Gazette. We have a special offer for our podcast listeners, so visit nwaonline.com/nwapodcast to get started. You can also click the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or call us at 479-684-5509 and be sure to say that you're a podcast listener. Now back to the show.
Kim Dennison is coordinator of Bend County's elections. I had the opportunity to talk with her just the other day and about the upcoming primary election and the preparations for it and what voters need to know before they go to vote. Here's our conversation. Kim, is there anything new people should know about this time around before they walk into a polling place?
We don't really have anything new that's been put into place for the voters, but they do need to remember to bring a photo ID with them. If that photo ID is going to be a driver's license, it just needs to be issued by the state of Arkansas to make sure that they can vote a regular ballot on election day.
And what about for those of you actually in charge of putting on these elections? You know, what new rules are in place for you?
We had a lot of paperwork that came out of the last legislative session that we're going to have to implement. So not just on our end, but our poll workers, the voters won't see any of that pertain to them, but just checks and balances all the way around.
Okay. And the Bend County Election Commission moved recently. Can you tell us about that and what are the biggest impacts for you guys?
We did move. We're just about a mile on the road from where we were. It's just been great for the Election Commission. We have all of our stuff under one location now. The last place we had a couple of different separate rooms that we had it spread out in. Now it's all in one spot. And so we're very blessed to be able to have a standalone building that we don't share with any other offices. And we're loving it over here.
Do you have a rough idea of how many voters you're going to be seeing in this primary election?
Primaries typically bring about a 30% turnout, and we're really hoping to see at least that, if not more. Every election we prepare for, we really prepare for 100% voter turnout. So the work on our end is just as much as it would be for a 100% turnout versus a 30% turnout, either way. So we really would like to see the numbers increase if we could get voters out to vote.
What are the biggest challenges or, you know, potential pitfalls you face when it comes to pulling off an election of this magnitude?
With this one specifically, I believe the hardest part is that the primary falls in March, and normally it's in May, but for presidential years, it falls in March. The biggest problem with that is working around holidays, trying to get all of our poll workers trained in smaller class sizes so that it's more feasible for them to understand what we're talking about, and you don't get too many people in there at once. Just the weather, that is another thing that we're bouncing around constantly, because you just don't know what the weather's going to do at this time. As far as the larger election, I've been doing this for 13 years, so it just kind of comes natural to me at this point in making it happen and making sure I'm following all of the rules and the laws that are set forth by the state of Arkansas. If anybody needs a copy of their sample ballot, there is a link. We have a Benton County webpage, vote.bentoncountyar.gov. And on there, you can find everybody that filed for offices at the local level. You can find a link to be able to get your sample ballot to verify if you're registered to vote still. One of the things that I hear a lot is, do I have to register for every election? And you don't. Once you've registered to vote, you stay registered until you haven't voted in 4 years. So if you voted in the last presidential election, you are still registered to vote, and make sure you get out there and cast your ballot. Benton County is also vote centers. We went to vote centers quite a few years ago, and which means you can go to any polling location that is open early voting or election day to cast your ballot. You don't have to go to one specific location anymore.
Again, that was Kim Dennison, Benton County's election coordinator. I want to tell you about some of the other stories we have coming your way this weekend in the Democrat Gazette. We'll be publishing bios of candidates in contested races for Benton County Quorum Court seats, as well as Crawford County Quorum Court, all in the Republican primary. You'll find those bios along with links to videos about each race in Sunday's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. I want to share a preview of some other stories as well. Cities throughout Northwest Arkansas are experiencing increased tourism, ticket sales, and engagement with local, regional, and national talent in the music industry. Leah Fletcher will have that story. The Washington County Road Department plans to pave nearly 200 miles of county roads in 2024. Tom Sissom will have a story on that. Turning to the River Valley now, a native of Ukraine who's set to graduate from the Arkansas College of Osteopathic Medicine this spring was selected for a prestigious internship with NASA. Thomas Ascenti reports. And Monica Brick attended Fort Smith Mayor George McGill's State of the City address on Thursday. She'll report on what the mayor had to say, as well as how others reacted to the speech. This Sunday's What's Up section is, again, chock full of entertainment news specific to our region. Just a couple of examples. Monica Hooper will have a preview of the musical comedy Company coming to the Walton Arts Center next week. And Becca Martin Brown will tell us about the upcoming Great Northwest Arkansas Model Train Show coming to the Benton County Fairgrounds. And, of course, we'll have all the sports coverage you could ask for, from high school to college to the pros. All of this and more will be available to our subscribers on our tablet and smartphone apps and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. Know the News is a weekly podcast brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and River Valley Democrat Gazette. Again, I'm Dave Porozik, your podcast host this week. Thank you, as always, for listening, and don't forget to check us out next Friday for the next Know the News. Until then, have a great weekend, and take care, everybody.